Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, just getting cranking here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us today for New Life.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Dave Stoop. And on the line...
Steve Arterburn.
Yeah, Steve Arterburn right here. And on the line is Jim Phyllis. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing very well today, Steve. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, Jim, we have an Everyman's Battle coming up October the 14th through the 16th.
Looking forward to it.
You're at every one of these. And I want to link that with a discussion that Dave and Mylon and I have been having over anger. And I have often said, I've never met a sex addict who didn't have a really big anger problem. Now, they may be out there, and you may be dealing with them, but I've always found that sexual addiction and anger go together. Any reason why I might either see that in every case, or it might be a common emotion for a sex addict?
Well, Steve, I think it starts at the very beginning with the heart of the sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
The heart knows that what we're involved in, what we're doing, is wrong. And so the voice that's, you know, screaming disapproval the loudest is us. We're mad at us. And when you mention that, there's a face that came to mind. This was a guy that attended EMB about 18 months ago. And he walked through the doors of Everyman's Battle, and he looked furious.
Mm.
I've never seen anyone so angry.
So were you able to deal with that just in a weekend's time?
It's an amazing thing. He was not in my breakout group. He was in one of the other groups. And ultimately, on Sunday morning, Steve, he was one of the guys that shared his testimony about what the Lord had done over the weekend.
Mm. Wow.
His face was soft. I mean, you know, the anger was gone. The tone of voice was soft. He expressed the regret that he was feeling because of the husband that he'd been and the father that he'd been.
Mm.
Yeah, so it is possible in that weekend to begin to identify the source of the anger and begin to express it so that it doesn't have the control that it has.
Very good.
Yeah.
So anger wouldn't be the only thing. I mean, what does happen over the course of a weekend? What is the process that people go through, and what are the big changes that occur?
I think the other emotion that is pretty obvious is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Guys oftentimes are there because there's been a kind of an ultimatum delivered, maybe by a wife. Perhaps they've been caught at something at the office, and so they're mandated by work to get some help.
Yeah.
And so they're afraid of what it's going to be like to be with this bunch of guys for a weekend, and what am I going to have to do? And ultimately, it comes back to the heart. They're afraid of even themselves and telling the truth about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get into that small group and they have an opportunity to express their fears and hear other guys express their fears, that safety begins to dissipate the fear. I'm not so much afraid anymore.
Well, I tell you, we've talked about triple dog things around here. The triple dog emotional state of guilt over the past things that I've done, anger in the present over who I am and who I've become and the relationships, and a fear of where is all this going to lead, fear of my future. All of that gets resolved at an Everyman's Battle weekend. And I just want to invite you to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Jim Phyllis is an amazing human being, and there are others just like him at this workshop. Well, not exactly like him. He's pretty special. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back here, and we're continuing a discussion we've had when these guys and I have been on before. We're talking about anger. Let's go to Stacy. She's calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. WCVX is the station. Hello, Stacy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really grateful. Good. How are you today?
Quite well, thank you.
I'm really grateful to be on your program. I've been a listener for a long time.
Okay.
I just have gotten out of a 12-year marriage, 20-year relationship. I have two small children, and I am still angry, and I feel like I'm doing a lot of work. I went through the divorce care twice with mm-hmm. my church.
Yeah.
I'm in a small group. I attend Al-Anon meetings. I see a counselor.
Okay.
You know, I have friends in the program, and
But what do you want? What is it that you want? What are you wanting?
I don't. Well, my anger is normally turned inward. So, if something happens between me and my ex-husband, or if I'm having a financial problem, then I go to the food. I start eating. I recently started grinding my teeth, so I had to get a mouth guard. I'm spending money I don't have. Like,
what?
Even though I'm in recovery, I just want peace.
Okay,
I
but
don't want
what
to
do
be
you
affected.
Want, though? But what do you got to think about what it is that you wish you had or you want to happen. What is that? What are you so bugged about? You don't have it. If you had this, things would be different. What is that? Him dead, him coming back and begging you to get back with him. But what is it you want?
That peace you talked about?
Yeah, I want peace. I don't want him back, but I don't want to have a reaction to what he does or doesn't do. I want him to have a relationship with my children. I want him to meet his financial obligations. I want an apology for what he's done that led up to this. But I do. Above all, I just want peace. I don't want to react constantly to life in the way that I am.
What would his apology sound like to you?
Just taking ownership for what he did, for his unfaithfulness, for, you know, untreated alcoholism. For abandoning me and the kids.
All right. What if you really wanted was to go back in time and not enable those very things that caused this to happen? What if that was the big
desire?
Yeah,
that's absolutely. I mean, that's when I realized that I was angry today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely. I'm angry.
Because you let him drink, didn't you?
I know that. I think I realized that I had no control over that. So if he wanted to go out, I said go. You know.
Now
but
that's kind of like
angry that I put up with the behavior for so long, and that I was in denial for so long.
Hey, Stacy, how angry have you been with him?
Not really. Not he for the most part doesn't know when I'm angry. I'm taking it to other people, or I'm taking it, you know, I'm internalizing
it. I'd be so angry about that. That here I am with all this anger, and I'm eating to comfort myself, and he doesn't even know.
I know. I don't understand why I'm still, like, concerned with having a relationship with him, or, you know, trying to keep him from knowing that I'm angry. Angry right now.
You said earlier you want him to have a relationship with your kids, but...
Yeah.
You may not need to... I'm not even concerned that you'd be angry at him literally, but when you turn the anger on yourself, you're being angry at the wrong person. And I want you to somehow focus your anger on him. And one of the ways I have people do this is that you write him the nastiest, angriest letter that you've ever written in your life. You never let him see it.
Yeah.
But you get it out. You get it out of yourself, because you do, you know, this is typically what a woman does with anger, is that she, rather than focusing it where it belongs, she focuses it on herself. She turns it back inward. And that's because a lot of times as little girls are taught, you know, it's not ladylike to be angry. And so where else do you go? You just kind of put it on yourself. And you got to break that. You got to quit beating yourself up, and you won't find peace until you do. And so, you know, there's a process that I describe in Forgiving the Unforgivable, where you allow yourself to be angry, you feel the sadness, and then you forgive. And you know, it takes a while.
You think it goes away?
It diminishes. Yeah, it doesn't go away for quite a while. And there's things that will happen. When you have grandkids, you know, when your kids have kids, it will happen. That will stir it up again, but it won't be as intense.
Stacy.
Well, that's where I'm getting frustrated, is I feel like I've been doing all this work.
Stacy.
But you got to do that for you, not for him. You do that for you, and not even for your kids.
I feel like I don't know if I need to do less work, but I just feel like
Stacy,
I'm putting all this energy into
Stacy.
It. Stacy. Yes.
Take a trip down memory lane, and before you ever met your husband, where did you learn to do all the work, try to maintain the peace, stuff and internalize your emotions, and hide your emotions? Where did you learn that?
I definitely learned that within my family, you know, with my parents, you know, always being a people pleaser, and, you know, being seen and not heard, and you know, not showing any emotions whatsoever, I guess any negative emotions.
Right.
But
so you poor little Stacy had to hold it all inside. It's not how God made her. You know, when you were a toddler, you screamed, you know, you cried. And people tolerate that as for babies and toddlers. But then it's driven out of children when the parent can't contain the child's negative emotions. And so we learn to enable others. We learn to live in denial. We learn to take it into ourselves, internalize. And we learn non-relational coping mechanisms like eating, grinding teeth, getting ulcers. We learn to non-relationally solve these things. Now, I love it that you're in a group. I love it that you're trying to engage in recovery. But part of the recovery isn't just grieving the present losses, it's also working on the past losses and realizing I was set up for this. And I'm infuriated that my family system, as nice as it was, set me up to be such an enabling denial individual.
Doesn't it anger you that your mother didn't teach you how to process this anger properly?
Absolutely.
Have you told her that?
No.
Right. Oh, you hear the fear in your voice?
No. Why? What would she do if you did? How old are you now?
40.
Almost.
Almost 40. Yeah. Now, what are you afraid your mother would do?
Withdrawal.
Right.
Withdrawal.
Leave you. Have separation. Yeah.
Right.
Which goes back to that separation anxiety again we were talking about. That's why we don't get angry, because we will separate from others. And we can't tolerate being alone.
I also feel that way with my ex-husband, even though we don't have any ties, that if I tell him how I feel or how angry I am, then he'll withdraw.
Okay. But he did withdraw. You guys aren't together anymore. So you kind of created what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
So
what are you still afraid of?
Part of the whole transformation process is being aware of what you do. So you're kind of saying to us, okay, I'm aware of where this anger is coming from now, and then you have to want things to be better. I think that's why you called us, because you wanted it better, right? You do want things better.
Yes.
And you called us, help with your anger. But the third part of this, of transformation, is this big word, willingness. And I just don't know what you might be willing to do. You might not be willing to do anything. Talk to your mother. Talk to your father.
You don't have to get angry and rage at them. You just talk to her and say, how come you never taught me about how to be angry as a woman, Mom?
So that you can look back and say, you know what? I actually had a conversation about my childhood.
Why, now, what's the value? How does that help me move forward?
Why, Mom?
Having that conversation.
Why, Mom, in our family of origin, were negative emotions discouraged? Why did they have to be driven out?
See, what happens, Stacy, is you break free from secrets, and we have a saying that we're as sick as our secrets. And as long as you keep this bottled up inside, it's like it creates a sickness inside.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when you can talk to your mom, you don't have to go and rage at her and say, oh, you were a terrible mom, I can't believe you didn't. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. Like Mom said.
Yeah, ask a question. Give me some information.
How did our family get to the place where negative emotions were kind of hidden? You know, what was the background of that, Mom? What was your family like? And it enriches you. It enriches your relationship with her. It gets some things out on the table, and you'll feel the freedom that comes when you do that.
Her mom may have been under the sway of Norman Vincent Peale. You know, the power of positive thinking, and or Christian Science, where we don't acknowledge negative. We only deal with positive.
I'll tell you something to be angry about, Stacy, that you're almost 40 and you're afraid to have an adult conversation with your mother.
Yeah.
And see, that's the real key right there, is that when you can have that conversation, it's like now you're two adults talking. It's not mom and child. It's two adults.
That's why the goal. It's healing, because you elevate yourself to where you are as an adult.
And if you can have an adult voice with your parent, you will be able to have an adult voice with anybody. Mm-hmm. The opposite is not necessarily true.
Mm-mm. See?
You don't learn it from somebody else. You got to learn it with the parent.
What's your mom's name?
Gwen.
What do you call her?
Mom. Mm-hmm.
Well, at least she doesn't say mommy.
No, not mommy.
Well, I know where Steve's going on this.
Well, I'm just going to say this. Start thinking of her as not your mom, but Gwen.
Okay.
When you think, my mother, go, Gwen, just stop yourself and go, Gwen, and see her as a unique
person
that's an adult, and you're an adult too. Gwen.
Hmm.
You can talk to Gwen, can't you?
I can.
Gwen's a human being. She's not your mother anymore when you think from the standpoint of...
Well, I wonder how old Stacy feels around her mom. Well, how old do you feel
when
Gwen's ready to withdraw from you? How old do you feel internally?
I would say like 15.
That's not too bad.
16.
Well, that's not
bad.
I've
had people say 6.
That's correct.
So.
Well, that's when I can clearly remember the withdrawal, like being aware that something was going on and asking her and her withdrawing. Yeah. And so
I'm just going to have vivid
memories of that.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. When you can call her Gwen, then you're healed.
Okay.
And you can do it jokingly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend Yo Gwen, you know.
Yo.
I
mean,
that's probably not the best idea, especially in the Midwest.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's just sum up. What do we think she needs to do next with her?
Well, a lot of recovery groups don't always deal with the past, and they deal with the present. They're very focused on present-day behaviors, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe the piece that's missing, Stacy, as it was in my life, because I was raised a pleaser, I did not know how to get angry, and I had to learn to get angry and tolerate disapproval, tolerate separation, and learn to be assertive. Now here I'm on the radio talking to a lot of people, making people upset sometimes by what I say, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't that's not what I desire, but it happens, and it's right. Okay. People are angry at Jesus every day. Every day, people are angry at Jesus. Yeah. And he tolerates.
Mm. Well, I am Psalms. Look at the Psalms and David and his anger, but he never lets go. That's a healthy anger. You can be angry, but you don't let go of the relationship.
All right. Well, I hope that's helpful to you. Let me send you Walking Into Walls. I hope that that will provide some healing there and some hope. We really do care about you. We want the best for you. It really does begin with starting to become aware of things maybe we've never seen before.
Right.
And then it goes to desire. I want it to be different. And then that third thing, okay, God, I'm totally willing to do whatever it takes, as hard and difficult as it might be, even to the extent of having an adult conversation with a parent. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. And you know, if you live in the Southern California area, well, you might want to join us October the 7th for the Friday Night Live at Faith Community Church in West Covina. Is it West Covina or Vina?
Covina.
Covina.
It's not in, Vina. It's
in Covina. And that's from 7 to 10. And let me tell you exactly who's going to be there. A bunch of us. We don't know exactly who's going to be, but a bunch of us will be there, the radio hosts. We're going to do a couple of programs. And Lose It for Life is November the 3rd through the 6th. And we have some tips. 4 steps to restoring trust in your relationship. You can get those free by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right. And tomorrow we're going to do a Focus Friday program on the topic of betrayal. Ooh, so many of us have been betrayed. Let's go to Joey from Chicago, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hello, Joey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, listen, when you got your psychiatrist on speed dial, I think that says a lot about a person. You know what I'm saying?
It really does. It says a lot about your psychiatrist, too. So, what's going on?
All kidding aside, the reason I called is... My question basically is, how do I begin to trust my wife again? And
what
the
happened?
Reason I ask that question is because over the years that we've been married, she has given me, she has done and said things to lead me to believe that she has been unfaithful. And it caused a lot of turmoil in our marriage over the number over the first probably 10 years, mm-hmm. which even led to a separation. And it just seems like
why do you think she was unfaithful?
I would begin to heal from one thing, she would do another thing or say something that would open the wound again.
Okay, why do you think she was unfaithful? Why? What gives you reason to think she was an unfaithful wife?
Flirting with other men, basically.
Well, a lot of women flirt, but they're never unfaithful.
I understand that.
Okay, then here's the other thing. And then why is it a mystery? You know, why aren't you guys talking about this like every day until you get it resolved? Where's the distance
because,
come from?
Every time that I'm not the type of person that holds things in. You know,
mm-hmm.
When I think something, I express my feelings,
mm-hmm.
and every time that I brought it to her, like whenever she would say something or do something, I would bring it to her, and rather than, not in my mind, okay, this is just me thinking, if we were role-playing, and if she would have brought this to me and said, you know, accused me of something or asked me about something regarding that, I would think that an innocent person would reassure their love
yeah.
to you and say, no, no, this is, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of that, she would get very defensive and angry with me and put it all back on me. And
okay.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, I feel the way I do.
Hey, Joey, what makes it hard for you to trust in general?
Oh, you know, I'm sure that this whole thing it probably began with my mother. I grew up I was born in the late 40s, and as a young child, I grew up in the 50s, obviously, and my mother she never, to my knowledge, ever, you know, was unfaithful to my father. They were divorced when I was a child, and where was I going with that? But she was, back in that era, like women, mothers were like held on a pedestal. You know, it was a different world. And my mother, she swore almost constantly, and she would dress very provocatively, and it really embarrassed my brother and I. I have an older brother.
Now, isn't that interesting?
And,
don't you find that interesting?
Imagine a young child, and then men leering at their mother, and
I bet you didn't trust her, did you?
She almost, in a sense, provoked that from men.
You couldn't
by the
really.
Way she spoke
you,
and the way she dressed.
You couldn't trust your mother, could you? The way she was dressed.
And I was also like not. I was like physically and verbally abused by her, not sexually, but you know, beaten and called every filthy name you can imagine. And
now, Joey, what have you done to deal with those issues with your mom?
I'm sorry.
And what kind of work have you done to come to terms with what you experienced with your mom? Have you done any counseling on that? Have you talked to your psychiatrist about it?
Oh no! I was kidding about the psychiatrist.
I know, but I'm serious about it. I mean, have you done any kind of counseling or to deal with those issues that you had with your mom growing up?
Well, you know what? After I became a Christian. I was about 30 years old, and the church that I had belonged to for almost 30 years had home groups, and you know, where we met
yeah.
in someone's home, usually about 12 to 15 people. And yes, I have definitely brought up all those issues. My mother has passed away.
Okay, but here's Joey, we're going to go to a break in a minute, and we'll come back. But what I want you to think about on the break is, you know, you didn't marry your mother. And you're putting a lot of your mother on your wife. I think. And
seems like it.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We have a nightmare for people that listen to this program and don't believe in counseling. We're going to be telling Joey here that he has to deal with his mother issues.
Yes, not just talk about
before it. He can trust his wife, which is what you called about, Joey, right? How do I trust her?
Hey, Joey, if you can't trust your mother as a kid, I mean, who can you trust?
Really?
Because that's where we learn trust as moms.
I totally get where you're coming from. All my life, I had to defend myself, and when they were divorced, I was about 11 years old, and it just totally rocked my world. And all that was secure, and you know what I'm saying?
It just
went out the window. Not to mention, my opinion of marriage and the fact that there's nothing permanent anymore.
You know, Joey, mm-hmm. What I do is I bring couples into my office and I exclusively work with couples, because for your wife to be able to hear this horrible story that you've described to us, all of a sudden she begins to have empathy, we hope, not always 100%, but in many, many, many cases, high percentages. As spouses, we begin to develop empathy for the historical Joey. And you begin to hear stories about your wife, and you begin to develop empathy for the historical wife. Not hysterical, historical. And as we relate to one another historically and have empathy for the things that shaped us, for we are historical creatures. You know, we're not the 60-year-old guy I am today, if Joey's born in the late 40s. You know, I am just not the person today that you see. I'm all 60 years. And those 60 years mount up. Now, if you told your wife about this and said, you know, I think one of the reasons why I'm so nervous around you is I don't know how not to be. I've always been this way since 11 years old. And I think that's why I ask you so many questions, and that's why I'm so troubled by these things. But I realize it's not all you. I'm, as Dave said, projecting a lot of my old feelings, behaviors, and insecurities upon you. And you know what? That's not fair.
Every time you leave with a skirt above your knees, which is nothing wrong with that, I get the same feeling as when I watched my mother walk out of the house in a halter top and short shorts, and I knew she was going to meet another man. See, now you're talking honest revelation. Yeah. You're telling her it's not fair.
It's life-changing.
Boy, that can draw her to you like nothing else could.
And that's why I love my job. When couples mm-hmm. do that in my office, and it's yeah. so rewarding to see them come to new ahas and, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden see the other person with compassion and empathy. It's so powerful.
Yeah. Hmm. What do you think, Joey?
I guess when you mentioned about empathy for my wife, we've talked about we've been married for 26 years, so we've had a lot of conversations over the years, and I do know that her father, she had a very bad relationship with her dad, who was in World War II, and he, I'm sure, suffered from what she tells me, struggled with PTSD, as I do as well, because I fought in the Vietnam War. And I still struggle with, you know, depression and anger and those sort of issues and fear, panic attacks,
yards. See, you're not you and your wife aren't in conflict. Your mother is having a really hard time getting along with her father.
Yeah. Your histories are in conflict.
You're projecting your parent on the on your spouse. And both of you are.
And so that's right. And so I call this colliding histories.
Hmm.
You know, where histories
I totally
get you,
because when I say they had a very bad relationship, her and her sister, that they were terrified of him. He never physically beat them, but he yelled at them, which is probably more devastating than actual physical beating,
sure.
because that goes away, but the fear, you know, that lingers. And the thing is, I guess what I'm getting at is she never got the love from her father, a father's love, and therefore she... in her younger days, sought that out, which is it's typical. I from what I understand.
Don't you kind of don't you yell
you know,
at her
looking for love?
Don't you yell at her the way her father yells at her now? Don't you do the
no,
same?
No, her father passed away.
No, don't you yell at her though the way?
Oh, do I?
Yeah, you said you're.
She says I raise my voice sometimes, but I don't think it's...
Okay.
I'm a very passionate person, and
she wears.
I don't yell.
She's a dress. She wears a dress that's a normal.
You know, when I get passionate,
here you go.
I guess my voice goes
okay,
up.
Okay, here's
a
what happens.
She
wears a dress that's normal, and you see your mom in a halter top. You talk a little bit, what you think is just a little bit maybe over the top, and she feels the rage that her father had toward her. It's working both ways for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you guys are in conflict.
Screwed up.
No, that's fairly common. It's something that all of us, you know, are drawn towards the parent that we had conflict with in some way because we think we can fix it with our spouse because we couldn't fix it with the parent. But yours is, yours is just a really clearer picture of that than some people are.
Mm-hmm. So it's Joey, it's repairable with a therapist that can understand these two histories and help you understand the dynamics and the interrelationship and the reactivity of these histories.
And you know how I'd start it off with your wife? I would, sometime this week, I would say, you know, honey, I'm talking to these crazy guys on the radio, and, you know, I need to apologize to you. I've been dealing with my mother stuff through you, and I just want to tell you I'm sorry. And a lot of times you probably are dealing with your dad stuff through me. We need to talk about that and then have this conversation that Mylon mm-hmm. was suggesting. That's where I'd say start with it. And I would wager that if you did that in that soft way, that you would have probably one of the most intimate conversations that you've ever had with your wife.
Yeah,
try it.
I agree. All right, I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, and I hope that that will... No, I'm not sending you Walking Into Walls. I'm going to send you How We Love, and I hope that that will be helpful to you there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, let's talk with Nancy from San Antonio, Texas. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help?
I have been trying to work on ways to deal with female anger. I've been looking for books and calling resources in my local area and things, and all the anger materials seem to be addressed to men in dealing with rage and beating women and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a woman who can kind of go from calm to frustrated, angry in, 0.6 seconds.
Okay.
Great. Well, that tells me, well,
0.6.
Yeah, that tells me the water line's really high,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And so where have you discovered that is the source of the anger and rage? What have you discovered about yourself and your history?
Well, I know that I have a very hard time trusting, and I really am very independent, self-protected, kind of rely on no one, only trust myself. And so earlier in the shows where you were talking about anger keeps you separate, that really resonated with me. But I've been trying to work for ways to kind of get over it. I've been doing a lot of work to just try and almost fake it till you make it, which is just try and act as if, not acting out my anger or frustration and trying to stay calm. And I find that helps some, but I have to be really mentally there. And sometimes when anger comes up, it's such that emotional ingrained response, there's not time for the mind to kick in as opposed to the innate reaction. And just looking for ways. I've read so many books. I've tried to find group counseling. I didn't really want one-on-one counseling. I was really looking for a group, and I'm just finding that it's not there, and especially for women, I'm finding
okay. Well, because you know what? If if you went to individual counseling, you couldn't be independent, autonomous, separate. You'd be
Well, but wait, I missed it. What did you say was the source of your anger and your rage?
I think it's been the family upbringing, the lack of trust.
The lack of trust,
just the aloneness that you feel.
Right. I did kind of move like 20 times. I've been to 20 different schools, moved, every year or so. So it's very easy for me to go into new
why
places.
Did you, why
it's
did
much
you move?
Harder for me to stay.
Yeah. Why'd you move?
Parents' jobs.
They got promotion. Your dad got promoted 20 times or what?
Right. He would have new jobs that would take us from town to town
changing
schools because of where I lived. And so the longest I've ever went to one school was 2 years.
Okay. We'll help you when we come back after this.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Back. We are back. Okay, Nancy, I can't let you off the hook here. Tell me what kind of work your dad did that promotion always meant moving. You know? That doesn't sound likely.
Like promotions.
You know what I mean?
Well, promotions are job transfers. So, you know, in the big blue and the corporate, you know, 500 companies.
Okay.
Or look, let's be direct. Did he get fired a lot?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. But even if he didn't, I mean, because this happens to military families too, where the child has to move a lot, and corporate America, I know people that have moved extensively. And it creates an emotionally avoidant person because I can't trust people. I can't get close. I can't get close to people. I don't have time. And then you have this hole in your life, and I don't have friends, and you're having to give up people all the time. So it creates this emotionally avoidant person. Dave, you had some thoughts about that.
Well, one of the things I found about anger, we said it a couple programs ago, is there are unfulfilled demands that we're making on situations and people and God and ourselves. And when I make a demand that I can't enforce, basically that's the root of my anger because I feel so helpless. And we're going to send you a copy of my book, You Are What You Think. There's a whole chapter in there on anger that I think you'll find helpful. And basically what you want to do is you take those demands and work them through into wishes, wants, and desires. And it sounds very kind of soupy. You know,
wishes, wants, and desires.
Yeah. So I had a lady I was talking about at the break with my, who was so angry. I said when she walked through the door into my office, the door frame charged. She was so angry, you know. And I was asking her, you know, one of the things she said was she was so angry with her husband was she said, when I fix a nice dinner and I've got candles on the table, he should know that I need some attention. And I've got the kids to bed, see. Well, you know, there's the demand. He should know that I need some attention. Well, he wasn't smart enough to know. And then also when she was saying it as a demand, there's something about us that resists the demand, even if I'm doing it on myself. Paul says the things that I should do, I don't do. The things that I shouldn't do, I do. That's the human condition. You tell me what I should do, I'm going to do the opposite. I tell myself what I should do, and I'll do the opposite. So I had her make three columns, a turn of notebook sideways, you know, 8.5 by 11 notebook, make three columns. What makes me angry? The middle column was, you know, what are my demands? And then the third column was to come up with, you know, what is my wish, want, or desire? She filled 27 pages on both sides.
Whoa.
You know, this poor guy.
Wow.
Really,
I'll take overwhelmed for 500, Alex.
Oh, no kidding.
She took that one about when I have candles on the table and the kids are in bed and we've got a nice dinner. What I wish you'd do is take about 30 minutes after dinner and just sit with me and talk. Well, he's over here making notes on a little pad that he had, you know. And it was like, you know, give me another try because he could hear that. He couldn't hear the demand, but he could hear the wish.
Mm.
So it becomes a means of communicating the things that make me angry. But you got to go through that kind of an exercise to be able to get a handle on it. And I think when you find that chapter, it'll be helpful for you. And it's written for men and women.
So, Dave, underneath that woman's anger was hurt, huh?
Oh, there was hurt, and there was a demand related to that hurt.
Right.
And you'd think it's a legitimate request, you know. But the way it was heard, the way it was communicated, worked against it.
Sure.
And she had to learn a different way to say it. Mm-hmm. And she did. He started hearing it, and it began a process of change within
the relationship. So she had a legitimate need that she was, as we all do as humans, often express illegitimately, and it turns people off.
What happened with that couple?
They put things back together. And she, her anger level went way down. I mean, it was just amazing. You know, when you do 27 pages and she started to understand the pattern, she now had a way to communicate with him and he could hear her. Mm. And it made a world of difference.
Way to go, Dave.
All right. Yeah. Nancy, any other comment you want to make before we run?
Yes. The one thing I was trying to think about is it's not so much at home as much as it is when I'm just out dealing with the public and things or at work. And so do you have any tips? I know that there's a lot of hurt under the anger. Any quick tips on
Nancy, look for the demand in the hurt. Look for the demand. If it's at work, you know, what is it that I expect to be different? What should be different?
The word expectation is another word to come alongside
to
demand.
That,
what's your demand or your expectation that isn't
fulfilled?
And I expect to be treated in a certain way.
Yeah.
You see, but that's ideal.
And I expect people to behave
in
a certain
way. But the real world, and the tip is I've got to get used to the gap between what's ideal in my mind and what's real and that I face every day.
And the reason I expect them to do this is that was the only time that I felt at peace is when people were being that way.
Sure.
But they weren't that way in my childhood, and so it taps into that insecurity and instability and
just a repeat
anger
of all that back there that back nobody lives up to what it should be.
I hope that's helpful to you, Nancy. You think?
Yes, thank you very much.
If it isn't helpful, I'm going to give you a book that will. It's called You Are What You Think by Dr. Stoop, okay?
Oh, thank you.
So if you don't want to be angry, then you stop thinking anger, right?
Change your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Change your life.
All right. Well, it really is true. I mean, placebo medicine proves that. If you think something works, there's a good chance it will.
You know, that's interesting. 55 to 60% of placebo medicine works.
Yeah.
And the drug companies are all upset.
Yeah.
And so they're going to try to eliminate that. Rather than understand why it
works,
they want to eliminate. And I don't think you can eliminate because it's true about it's going to happen to everybody. There's placebos do work.
So you can change your thoughts and it'll change your life. And you can also change your emotions and it'll change your life. And I think the Bible calls us to do both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. 1-800-229-3000. If you ever want to join us on a program, that's the number. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you could help us, that's the number to call, or you can go to newlife.com. We need your support. We need about, I think it's 4 people every day to join Club New Life for us to achieve our goals there. That's kind of the sustaining rock of this ministry is the membership into Club New Life. So please consider that. It's about $30 a month. Or maybe there's a one-time gift. In the fall, people tend to start thinking, what ministry will I support toward the end of the year? And I hope that you'll give us a look, because we really do get a lot of ministry out of every dollar that comes in. It's amazing how few people and how little equipment we use. You know, one of the biggest expenses, or our biggest expense, is paying for radio time so that we could be here with you every weekday. And so help us do that. Help us with that enormous expense. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe you aren't trained to be a counselor, but you always wanted to be. Well, we've got these counselors on the phone that are helping people. So you can be part of a healing ministry by supporting us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go to the website, newlife.com. There's so many things on our website, so many resources. You just plug in a problem, and we probably have a resource for it. Don't forget that it's this Friday, October the 7th, we're in Faith Community Church in Covina, and it's just going to be a great time. I hope you'll come and join us. We're going to tape a couple of programs there. We'll have our radio hosts there, some of them. So please come join us for that. If you want 4 steps to restoring trust in your relationship, you can get these free by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or 1-800-639-5433. That's the numerical of New Life. And then Lose It for Life coming up November the 3rd through the 6th. And it's just going to be an incredible time in a wonderful place. You'll love it. So come and join us for that. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Thank you, Milan Yurkovich.
Thank you, Steve.
And thanks all of you that listen to us, especially you regular listeners and those that support us. Thank you. Hope it's going to be a great day. Hope this is shaping up to be a wonderful fall for you. And we'll see you here next time on New Life Live. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.